To be able to begin this session. We're actually going to be doing it in two parts. And in essence, we've really got two panels that we're working with. The first one is a paper entitled Brian, a Relational Database Application for Discography. And the two people involved in this, one is Noel Cohen, who has last year received an award for excellence in discography for his book, Rat Race Blues, The Musical Life of Gigi Grace, which he just showed you. And the second person on this panel is Steve Albin, and he is a computer programmer. And he is also in charge of a database, the jazzdiscography.com, that you can access, or at least you can find information about his database on jazzdiscography.com. He's the author of Brian and Beyond Category. These are both database programs. So I will let them tell you more about what they're doing.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I'm the end user, and he's the programmer. So any questions about computer stuff, you can direct to him. What we're going to talk about today, and actually the bulk of this presentation will be a demonstration of the software. So I'm going to try not to go on too long here. But this project actually goes back about 10 years now. It's not really a brand new development. It goes back to when Steve was encouraged to combine his expertise as a computer programmer with his interest in jazz recordings to come up with a jazz discography program, something that individuals could use themselves to create discographies. And what's happened over during the interim is that the program has really come a long way. And part of this is due to feedback from a small number of users, but enthusiastic ones like myself and Michael Fitzgerald, who actually is one of the authors of this paper, but couldn't be here today. And through this feedback, Steve has made a lot of modifications, practical modifications to the program, and we thought that this meeting would be a good opportunity to try to get some people aware of it and interested in it, and hopefully give it a shot, users. Let me just talk a little bit about jazz discography. And let me first say that this has been designed predominantly for jazz discographers. But in my mind, I don't see why it couldn't be used even in its present the way it's presently formulated to do discographies in other genres as well. And one beautiful thing about this is that, and Steve as well, is that it's relatively easy to make, at least certain changes to this if people have specific needs, so that what you see today is not necessarily etched in stone. It can be, changed and modified in various ways, and undoubtedly will, even for jazz purposes in the future. Let me just talk a little bit about jazz discography and where things stand at this point. Of course, jazz discography goes back to Delaunay in the 1930s, who first recognized the importance of, cataloging or recording the work that was going on, the music that was being recorded during the first part of the 20th century. And this was later picked up by people like Rust, who really developed the first chronological format, actually the format that's generally used today when we think of jazz discographies, and then other people made their contributions as well, Jepsen, Breunings. Rupley, with collaborators, did a beautiful series of label discographies published by Greenwood Press, which unfortunately that publishing house is dropping them. And that's a shame, because those were pretty well done and extremely useful. Eric Rabin's discography has gotten to about the letter E and stopped, although recent emails I've seen indicate that this may continue, not in print version, but on CD-ROM. So there's hope there, because that was one that was very well done. At least the first few volumes of it had relatively few, it was relatively accurate compared to some of the other ones. Now, I should mention, and this is most pertinent to today's presentation, that both, at least part of Breunich's up to TH, I think, is available at this point. And I think this year he'll have the entire alphabet available on CD-ROM. And of course, Tom Lord has gone even further, because Breunich's has simply converted his print version into a PDF document, a huge PDF, searchable PDF document. It's not really a database, but it is searchable. And Lord, on the other hand, has come out with a CD-ROM version of his print discographies, which is actually a database, although it has some serious flaws. I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that the contributions of all these people are just enormous. I mean, people that work in jazz research and authors and jazz history, we would be totally lost without the contributions of these people shown on the slide, despite the fact that, as shown at the bottom of the slide, there's a lot of problems with these things. They're just loaded with errors. Everybody knows this, and it's very difficult to update these things. The updates, the corrections, if they ever are incorporated, take forever to appear. And another thing that occurred to a lot of us working in this area is they don't really address the detail that a lot of us want. For example, it drives me crazy that discographies don't show composer credits. Now, I know who composed Summertime, but I'd really like to know who composed jazz originals. That's not such common knowledge. And the discographies generally won't tell you that. Other things like track timings. Track timings are important as at least a rough means of identification, for example, comparing different takes sometimes. I mean, not really accurate, but in certain cases, it's very useful to use track timings to identify takes. And of course, all of these things are really very expensive, and they're not available on the internet. And the internet is the future of this kind of stuff, as I hope we'll demonstrate. Let's go on and just talk just a few moments about the philosophy, or let me say proposed philosophy of discography in the 21st century. I think what we all have to work at is to get things right. I mean, this error situation shouldn't go on. We've got to make efforts to make sure that the information that we're reporting in whatever medium it may be is accurate. And we really have to work hard at this. It's not easy. But you can't simply trust what's been printed or shown before. It may not be right. So one really needs to compare various sources. And of course, you should listen to the music too, which is not always possible. But what's actually on the record, or CD may not be what is reported in the discography. So this is a lot of work, but I really think, and some and others of us really feel that this should be one of our goals, to try to get things right. We should be comprehensive and include a lot more detail than discographies have been able to do previously. And we should be able to update these things rapidly and without a tremendous effort. Again, as I said, the internet is the way of the future. This is where I think this type of information is going to be disclosed in the future. And this program that we're going to be talking about helps achieve all of these goals. So what is Brian? Just, I'm going to try to move along here. It's a relational database application used to compile standard discography information. It's named after Brian Rust, who perfected the chronological recording session format for print discographies. It tracks all aspects of a record date, and all these pieces of data are cross-referenced and searchable. So it's using a computer to produce a jazz discography, which pretty much, as you'll see, follows the standard format that we see, at least for jazz discographies. And this is session-based. It's not just a catalog. It's not just a list of 78s or a list of LPs. It's a database containing an enormous amount of diverse information, all related to a given recording session. So it includes the details like location, date, all the personnel, matrix numbers, song titles, catalog numbers of the issues. And we go beyond that because there's the ability to enter track timings, composers of songs, full titles of issues. This is another thing that's very frustrating, is that the discographies don't give all the titles of all issues, and that can be a big nuisance. And even issue release dates can be entered into this program. This program is available for both Macintosh and Windows, and here's some great news, it's free. You know, you can download it. We're looking for users. So, next slide. Just quickly, maybe this is preaching to the choir, but what is a relational database? I didn't know what it was, so maybe others don't. A relational database is a collection of data items organized as a set of formally described tables from which data can be accessed or assembled in many different ways without having to reorganize the database tables. And it's that last part that's really important, that really gives the power to this type of a program. So in Brian, the sessions are listed by date. The issues can be listed by title, by format, or by catalog number. And I'm talking now just about the data lists, not the output of this program. The songs can be listed as all albums containing a given song, all performances of a given song, and all songs composed by a certain writer. That's also reproduced in the list of writers. Writers equals composers. The personnel list is listed as all issues on which a given artist appears. And the labels list, and these things will have more meaning as Steve shows you the program. All the issues for a given label. So a lot is covered there. And these lists are all generated from the same data set and generated dynamically. So that when we get to the actual output of this program, you can generate your results in a variety of ways. The sessions report is what produces what's generally considered a jazz artist discography. You can generate a songs report, which will reproduce all the songs which a given artist performed. You can similarly do an issues report, which will list all the issues, no matter what format, that a given artist appears on. You can generate an artist index, which is all the other artists that your subject artist appeared with on every session in the database. A composer index, which produces all the composers of the songs that a given artist performed. And sessions by label, all the sessions done for a designated label. That is the output. And as I mentioned before, it's very flexible, so additional functionality can be added in the future, and undoubtedly will. So what I'm going to do now is turn this over to Brian, to Steve Albin, who is going to demonstrate, Brian. We're going to use the Rat Race Blues session. That's the recording session for which our biography of G.G. Grice is named. And we're just going to use this as an example. So, Steve, it's all yours.
Okay. Okay, so this shows the program as it looks when you first start the application. And what you need to remember when you start discography, when you want to enter a session, for instance, that sessions are composed of data elements. A session is a collection of songs performed by a certain group of musicians. So before we'll enter this Rat Race Blues session, we'll check to see that the songs are on the database or not. And so first we would use the songs window to look for these songs. So for instance, the first song performed on this session, and this Rat Race Blues session was June 7th, 1960 at Van Gelder's studio, Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. And they performed five tunes on that session. And the performers were Richard Williams, G.G. Grice, Richard Wyans, Julian Ewell, and Mickey Roker. The five tunes they performed were Blues in Bloom, Boxer's Blues, Strange Feeling, The Rat Race Blues, and Monday Through Sunday. So, what I can do to look for a song on... See, the database might... will already have lots of songs loaded on it, because if you're doing discographies, we'll assume that this is not the first session that was entered for this G.G. Grice discography, and there's already data entered. Anyway, in the song title field, we start typing Blues in Bloom, and you'll get to a certain point, and you'll notice on the right, this is a list of songs that are already on the database that start with the word blues. And of course, there's plenty of them. But as you see, as we type more, the list gets narrowed down. And if we look on the third one, the third song down, Blues in Bloom is already on our database. And if we select that down on the bottom of the screen, it will show the composer of that song, Norman Mapp, and that way we know this is the correct tune for this database. Now, I happen to know that all the tunes except two are already on the file, so I won't go through it. I'll just show you how we add the two tunes that are not already on the file. So to add a song, you just press the new button, and the tune, The Rat Race Blues, I'm going to enter onto the database. So I just type in The Rat Race Blues, and I hit save. And that saves that song onto the table. Now I need to enter the writer for that tune, which is G.G. Grice. And now the writer field is a lookup field. I'm not adding the writer to the database on this. With this window, I'm associating an already entered writer to the song. So as I type Grice, and you'll see on the list on the right, there's two names, G.G. Grice and Tommy Grice. Well, G.G. is the one we want, so we'll select that. And that fills in the writer name field. And then I hit the Add button, and that adds G.G. Grice as a writer to Rat Race Blues. Now I'll do the same thing with the other tune that's not already on the database, which is Strange Feeling. just strange feeling. I hit the save button, and now that tune is on the database. The writer for this tune is a person named Sam Finch. So I'll, in the writer field, I start typing Finch, and there is no Finch in the in this list on the left. So that means I don't already have Sam Finch on the database. So I have to open up the writer's window. I press the new button, and I'll add Sam Finch. And I hit save, and now Sam Finch is on the database as a writer. And I'll type in Finch again, and you'll see Finch appears on the list at the right, and I can select him and press the add button, and now Sam Finch is the writer of Strange Feeling. So now we know that all the songs and writers for this session are on the database. The next thing we'd want to do is make sure all the personnel that we need are on the database. And I happen to know that all of them are already on except for Sam Ewell, the bass player. And so I'll just, Julian Ewell. And so I'll just show you how we add a person to the database. So we press new, we type in the first name and last name. And then there's a skill field, and all this is a field that I use to differentiate artists with the same name. It doesn't mean that he always plays this instrument. If you see, there's a menu bar that you can select an instrument. In this case, we'll select bass because he was a bass player. But that doesn't mean that every place we use this name, he might be other places a singer. It's just a reference so that in case there's another Julian Ewell that was a trumpet player, we can distinguish the two names. I mean, in most applications, you know, they use things like social security number or birth date to differentiate people with the same names. But in a lot of cases, we don't even know that information. We only know the person's name and the instrument. And so I picked this method of differentiating names because I figured it would be the easiest thing for people to use. So I realized that it's sort of a kludgy a way of differentiating names, but it's worked pretty well for us so far. Anyway, we saved that name, so now Julian Ewell is on the database. Next, we would want to make sure the labels that we need for this session are already on the database, and I happen to know that they are. There's two labels that are important to this session. Prestige is the label that this record was originally recorded for, and we can find that Prestige is already on the database. The CD that I used to these songs appeared on many different LPs and CDs, but the one that we used for this example was an original Jazz Classics reissue. So we would need to make sure that label was on the database. And we can see that it is. So we don't need to enter any new labels. Now I can close these windows. So now we know we have all the data elements for this session. We can start actually entering the session into the discography. So we select the sessions window. We press the new button, and we type in the date, which was June 7th, 1960. If we only knew the approximate date, we could click this circa box, which would indicate that this date is approximate. Alternatively, lots of times on discographies, you see things like, you know, early summer, you know, 1960. I could enter the date like that, and on any reports that were generated for this session, the date would show up as early summer 1960. I still need the actual June 7th date because that's the date that we'll use to sort the session. So let's say we had three sessions that we knew of that were early summer 1960, we would make up specific dates for those to sort them, the three, in the order we wanted them to show up in the report, but only the early summer date, the text date, would be the only thing that shows up in the report. In this case, we know the exact date, so we don't need the text date. We know the venue was Van Gelder's studio. We know the city was Englewood Cliffs. New Jersey. And then the label that this was recorded for was Prestige. And this is a lookup field, the label. So I only have to type in, let's say, the first three letters, and I hit tab, and we see the label is Premier. Well, that's not what we want, so we use these buttons at the right, and I click the one button forward, and it tabs to the label we want, which is Prestige. And now this session could have been, well, this session was a studio session, but you can designate live, maybe it was radio, television, private. And this session type, you can add whatever kind of types you want. There's another window on the program that lets you enter whatever kind of session types you want to use. This is a studio session. So now we have all the information. We hit the save button, and now we have a record for this session on the database. What we need to do now is add the performances to the session. So we press the performances button on that window. And now we can add the tunes that were performed. So I'll enter Blues in Bloom, and as you see, the names of the tunes appear on the song list below the field. And I select Blues in Bloom, and I can tell it's the right one because it displays the composer for that tune. I mean, we could have two titles that are Blues in Bloom, one written by Norman Mapp, one written by somebody else. And so you want to make sure you pick the correct title, and that's why I display the composers here. We enter the timing and the matrix number. And we can also designate this as a master, alternate, incomplete, rehearsal, and we can add, the program allows you to add more categories if you want them. In this case, it's a master. We press the add button, and now we can see on this list we have Blues in Bloom is added to the session. And now we just continue this for all the other tunes that we have. And the timing field and the matrix field, these are optional fields. Obviously, there's many sessions that don't even use the matrix, anymore, so you wouldn't have that all the time.
Let me just jump in here. The beautiful thing about this program is because of all these features, you almost feel guilty if you don't use them. So if it's at all possible to find this information, you're encouraged to do that.
I'm just running through this quickly, and you see it once is really all you need to see. No, that's stripped out in the sort.
Okay.
Yeah.
All foreign ones also?
No. But I could add that.
You should, for German and French titles.
I can look into that. Yeah. It's generally for English, you know. Well, you know, but he's never given me any suggestions on how to do this. See, that would be the thing, because then you wouldn't know if it was foreign, so you could strip out an English word by accident. Now, you know, you could, a lot of applications are localized for the language, and I could do something like that, and I would look into that. If I had somebody that said, hey, I'm German, and I want to use your program, I would look.
The Library of Congress has a special chart for all articles that I use. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I used. Yeah, I did it. Yeah.
Well, there aren't too many languages that have THE as an article.
No, but there's a thing of localizing for this localizing applications for the language that you're using. You know, that's more what's done, because you can't strip out all the articles for all the languages in one database, because you could conflict. But you could localize, you could say this is going to be a German database or a French database, and you could localize your articles that way. I mean, there's lots of ways to do it. And I would, there's suggestions on how to implement it. I do take suggestions for users. I try to incorporate the suggestions that users have. I don't generally tend to incorporate suggestions from non-users, but I do, I listen to all suggestions. And if I really think they're good, I put them in. If it's a user and it's something that I don't think is that important, if it's a user, I will put it in.
Because I can't walk all night.
Okay. Well, if you use Brian, we'll talk, and I'll put it in for you.
Well, just another thought. While we're talking about European, the way you have your date, month, day, year.
That's handled by it's month, day, year here. If your computer was set up to use European dates, the program would accept European dates. That's not the application. That's the operating system underlying it will handle that automatically. Now for reports, I have a window on this that will say, I don't care what, you know, yeah, I used U.S. dates to enter them, but I want to display them in European dates on the reports. I can do that.
Because most filing now is done year first.
Well, you can do that, but you have to set your computer up to do that. That's handled by the computer. Your computer will have a preferences panel in the control panels that will say how you want your dates, and that's automatically handled. I use American dates on this, and once you start your database with American dates, you have to stick with it. So you have to think about that when you create the database, because that's the way. That's really not Brian. That's the way computers work.
Of course, you know, ironically being named after Brian Russ. Of course, where of course he's using. Day, month.
Yeah. What can I say? I got to tell you something. I named it after Brian Rust, and I really didn't know anything about discography then. Somebody said that this guy was the guy that perfected it. I said, there's the name for the program. I didn't want to have anything like Disco Pro or CompuDisco. We wanted to get rid of computer names, you know. And so someone suggested Brian. And so that's. I'm sorry? Well, that's okay. I don't want any computer names.
And has he commented on it?
No, I don't know Brian Rust. I've never met him or written to him. I just named my program after him. I don't think the name is copyrighted, so I don't have to worry about it. Oh, I'd be glad if he knew. That would be fine. Anyway, let me show how I enter the rest of this session, and I'll be glad to discuss any of that other stuff later. But I want to make sure we finish this. So anyway, the tunes are now all entered for this session, and now we'll enter the performers on the session. And so this is the window for that, and you'll see that the tunes are listed at the top of the window, and then below is where we enter the personnel names. Now there's two boxes in the middle. There's a session box and a performance box. There's obviously you know, some performers can be on one or two performances of the session, not all of them. So the way we approach this, and I think it'll become obvious how this works, but I'll just start doing it. So we go down to this person field, and we start entering the name. So we enter Gigi Grice, and you see here there's the skill field. You see, I have him listed as a reed player. But that skill field is only to differentiate names on the table. It doesn't mean anything. I still have to enter his skill. And so I use this bar here, the menu bar. I'm going to, in this case, select leader, because he was the leader of this date. And now I add him as the leader. and you see his name shows up under the performance and under the session box, because, you know, anybody that's performing on any performance is automatically a member of that session. He also played alto sax. Now, you don't have to use this menu to select everything. If you already know the abbreviations, you can just type them in and tab, and you'll take them that way, and it's a lot faster. So now we've added Gigi as the leader of the date and the alto sax player. And we'll enter Richard Williams as the trumpet player. We enter Richard Wyans as the piano player. Julian Ewell, who we just entered into the table previously, he's the bass player. And Mickey Roker is the drummer. So now, as you can see, we've got all the personnel for the for Blues in Bloom is entered. And so they're all listed under the performance, and they're listed under the session. Now, if I click on Boxer's Blues, you'll see there's nobody performing on Boxer's Blues. I haven't entered anybody for that yet, but they're all here on the session. I don't have to retype the names in. I can just click on the Add All button, and now they're all performing on Boxer's Blues. And I just go down the line, and I click on these tunes, because they all played on all the tunes. But I could, let's say on Strange Feeling, Richard Williams didn't play on that one. I could select Strange Feeling, then select his name in the performance list, and hit the remove button, and now he's off that performance. He's still on the session, and he's still on the other tunes. He's just not on Strange Feeling. And that's inaccurate, but I'm going to leave it that way for now because it'll demonstrate something else that we need to see later on. But anyway, now we've got all the information about that particular day entered. And now what we need to do is enter what issues these performances were on. And so we open up the issues window. And if you notice, what happens when you open a window, the first entry in the table just automatically shows up on it. You know, you can hit these and you can see more previously entered records that are already there. But we're going to enter the record for this Rat Race Blues CD. So we press the new button. We type in the title, the catalog number, which is optional, the label is a lookup field, and in this, it's not Prestige, it's we're entering the original Jazz Classics version of this CD. The artist on an issue is more or less like the file under artist. You know, if you go to the record store, these things will be filed under somebody's name. There might have been two labels, two leaders, but you can only file it in one place. So we enter Gigi Kreiss. The format is a CD, and you can add whatever formats you want. The program allows you to customize these pop-ups, so you can have whatever formats you need. You can the issue date. When was this issued?
In 80.
Well, whatever. So the issue date is, let's just say it was 1990. You know, and I would hit the circuit button. And in this case, I would press this button here, this on-hand button, because I happen to have it. And there it is. And it looks like we're running out of time, so I'm going to real quick show you how. Then you would add performances to these.
So, while Steve is doing that, let me just say that at this point there are over 30 Brian-created discographies on the internet, which can be found at jazzdiscography.com along with the program. And as I said, the program is free, is a free download for Windows or Macintosh, so we would really encourage you to give it a shot. Oh, and there are handouts over here on the overhead projector. Feel free to take some.
And there's a handout of the of what the session would look like when I generate it for the internet. So it looks like we're out of time, so I'm not going to do that now. But there's a template screen for these reports that you can do. And this is what it would look like when it was generated on a web page. I have 30 copies of them over there that you can take one.
And again, if we run out of copies, go to www.jazzdiscography.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
We could take a couple of minutes of questions if you want.
Easier for me if you just left.
Are there questions?
Do you have okay. On it though?
I just need those.
Oh, could you?
This is Matt. It doesn't have no pen.
Would you wait for a second? And let's do some questions and then. Okay, you got a couple of minutes for questions.
Oh, I do. Okay. Sure.
When you have a group name, it's just a person's name.
Yeah, you could enter a performer as you'd enter no first name. Like if it was the Duke Ellington Orchestra, you'd enter the in the first name and Duke Ellington or the Duke and then Ellington Orchestra in the last name as a performer. You could put, you know, you'd use the last name as how you want it to file. So, you know, so you'd say Modern Jazz Quartet in the last name field. If you wanted the, you'd put that in the first name, and then it would show up as the Modern Jazz Quartet.
Next question.
Are you able to take into account pseudonyms?
I can't associate them. They don't. You can't like. You can enter. You can enter a pseudonym, but there's no way to associate two people as the same person. I'm not sure.
Well, somebody just asked me that, and my answer was, at least the way I've done it, Charlie Chan listed as Charlie Parker. I would enter Charlie Parker in parentheses, and this would be in the last name part. After Parker, I would go parentheses, Charlie Chan parentheses, close parentheses. And then you'd have two Charlie Parkers in the database, but you should find them. They'd be right next to each other. Right. That's the way I would handle that. I don't know about Steve.
For example, if you're doing an Ellington discography, you're going to have Duke Ellington and his orchestra, Duke Ellington, his famous orchestra, the Jungle Band, the Washingtonian, Millstown Blankberries.
Well, you could enter those each separately. And then if you wanted to do a lookup of all the sessions for the Jungle Band, you'd only get a report of the Jungle Band.
Right, but the Jungle Band is also used for Chick Webb's band and
Oh, that's okay. You could have something to say to differentiate them. You could enter duplicate names, and that's what that skill field is, and you'd have to make something up. You'd have to just sort of, because that skill field is not reported anywhere.
Okay.
So it's just sort of
flag.
Yeah, it's just sort of something to say this iteration of that name. Because people have just many John Smiths.
Right.
So I have to have a way to handle that, and that's the way I chose to do it.
Another question. Do you have an address field for studio locations?
I just have the general location, not the whole mailing address, just the city. Just location. You can put, you know, the street. Could do that there. It's not real, you know, it's not handled, in that kind of detail.
Then it's variable length, so you can put what you like.
It's not variable, but it's pretty long.
Quickly.
There's not an automated way, but if you have something, I would look into writing a program that would do it for you, and I have done that for people.
The other question is in the case of intrusive A&R men like Eli Overstein with camouflage titles, how can you, if you're doing a printout of all the versions of I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, for instance, and one of them is called Getting Sentimental, how would you be able to get that in your report?
Well, I don't have a way of associating.
What I've done, again, Steve may not think it's the best use of the program, but what I've done, if there are only two or even three alternatives, again, I'll list
I would go, I'm getting sentimental over you, parentheses, getting sentimental. And that would be, every time you found, I'm getting sentimental over you, you would find that with the alternative title in parentheses. I've done that a lot with jazz composers, of course, you know, some song, many songs have more than one title, and that's the way I've handled that.
Yeah, I don't do things like that.
There is a note field, by the way.
Yeah, there's notes field for the song where you can enter
that
in. You can
add extra stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, jazzdiscography.com, and we'll be around. If you want more information, look for us. Steve has the computer and so forth. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very, very much.